Hello, tribe. I just totally dinged my knee into the desk. I don't know if you guys heard that, but it didn't feel pleasant. We're going to do a call tonight on self-love. This is the Q&A for the month. So if you are coming in, let me explain what self-love month is. Every month as a member of PNP, we either do a new program or we use one of our bonus courses. Everything is always located on pnptribe.com. Go to bonus courses. And all of the extra bonuses are over there. So there's lots of programs that you can do that that I design based on what you guys tell me is most important to your weight loss journey. And so this month we took the self-love course that we did last year, and I revamped it and put new material that I've studied in it. So if you're like, what is self-love? Make sure that you're reading your massive action line that comes out every Sunday in your email. If you're not receiving that, always make sure that you email us at support@pnptribe.com and we'll get you hooked up. We also introduce the new topic for the month on the 25th of every month. So you should be getting a monthly newsletter on the 25th that will tell you everything coming up for the next month and all that kind of good stuff. And it tells you what we're doing. So for self-love, this is week two of self-love where we're going to do Q&A over just the concept. So if you're one of the newbies and you're like, I'm not doing self-love, can I even be on this call? You absolutely can. Most of us know whether we are self-loving or not self-loving. And if you're having issues with it, tonight's the night to ask the questions. You don't have to have your workbook printed and be doing the journaling and have attended the workshop and be like, I'm behind. That's not practicing self-love. That's called practicing shitty thoughts to feel bad. Always just remember, there's nothing that I'm going to come live with you guys and talk about that you can't just listen and be like, oh yeah, that was what I needed to hear to lose weight. Everything always fits, no matter what. So whether you are following along with everything we do or you're just picking up podcasts as you see them and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting, it all fits together. I designed this program purposely so that no matter where you are in your journey, you always hear things that you need. It's not like, well, oh my God, I didn't listen to, you know, video 22 from 3 months ago, so now somehow I must be lost. It's like, no, we all know whether or not we love ourselves. So if you have questions about self-love, if you have anything you want to talk about when it comes to your internal dialogue, shit you say to yourself on a daily basis, shit you think other people are thinking about you on a daily basis, self-care, anything along those lines, use hashtag ask. And Betsy is going to be posting it for me so that I can see it and get things rolling. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one since I can see it. So no one can hurt your feelings. Do your feelings ever get hurt? Yeah, your feelings get hurt all the time. It's just that your feelings are hurt because of how you think about what someone says. We don't have like feelings that we're just like, all right, come here and put a hammer on that. That's not how it works. It's just like no one can make you think anything. Your brain resides in your ears and in your skull. No one is able to make you think stuff. We always think people can do that. It's like, no, it's actually just physically impossible. Your brain generates every thought on its own. Now, sometimes they're coming in fast and furious because if you've always blamed people, if you think someone has always hurt your feelings, you're going to be thinking someone hurt my feelings on automatic. But this is how it actually works. Someone says, you're an asshole. Like, let's say that yesterday it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day is such a good example. There were people who didn't get a card, didn't get flowers, didn't get jack shit. They didn't give a shit. Their feelings were not hurt. They were just like, okay. I mean, they don't make a big deal out of a holiday. Some of you made it mean like, oh my God, I'm underappreciated. Fuck everyone. They hurt my feelings. They should be doing all these things. Every thought you had about Mother's Day for all of you, this is how we know no one can hurt our feelings. Some people got cards and flowers and some people didn't. Some people were hurt and some people were fine. I didn't get jack shit, like nothing. I didn't even get a happy Mother's Day. Guess what? I didn't give a shit. I just don't put my, like, I don't choose to feel bad about stuff like that. Here's how I think. when my feelings are hurt, it's going to be because it was fucking legit. Like, I'm trying to even think of some... Well, recently when my feelings got hurt, somebody said something so shady about my son. My feelings were hurt. I do not like it when people say stuff like that about Logan. That is... I choose that hurt all day, every day. Here's my thought about it. I am a mama bear. This is the way I roll. I don't like seeing my son with his feelings hurt. And that's fine. But here's how some parents roll. Like, Chris, his feelings were not hurt about it. That's how we know that we hurt our own feelings, and that's fine. Here's my thing. Sometimes people are going to say things to you that you don't like, and that's fine to be hurt by it. I just want you to own that you're causing your own hurt. You don't like what they said. Just own, like, the reason why I'm hurt right now is because I wish they would talk differently to me. I wish they would act different. That's what's causing me pain. It's not what's being said, and it's not what's being done. And if you want to choose to be hurt by it, that's perfectly fine. It's just, it's really hard to go through life if you think other people can hurt your feelings, then everybody in the world better be on their best damn behavior at all times in order for you to feel good. And that's not happening. We're called the human race, and we're very flawed. We were designed to be flawed. You're living in a flawed world. At some point, we all have to get used to it and just be like, okay, this is the way it rolls as humans. That means that sometimes we're going to have expectations of people. And when we understand that we are having expectations of other people and that's why our feelings get hurt, then we can pause and decide, do we really need those expectations? I can't tell you how many times, like, I used to get so pissed at Chris for coming. What was it that he used to do? I used to get so mad about. Oh my gosh. It's been so, like, I have cleaned up so much of my bullshit around Chris. It is unreal. But it's like, I used to just get pissed about little things because I thought he should be doing stuff. And I realized I was just constantly angry. Guess whose feelings were hurt? Mine. You know what he was doing? Being him. His feelings weren't hurt at all. So when you start taking ownership of, like, yeah, right now I'm mad because you're not doing it the way I want you to, then at some point you ask yourself, do I really want to be mad about this? And you start, like, deciding what's truly important, what's my unnecessary, like, suffering. Like, I just need to be right about this. I need to prove to you I'm right. And you're going to feel bad when you know how right I am. You start looking at it and saying, like, God, is that the kind of person I want to be? Do I want to be the kind of person that has to be right and the other person's going to have to feel bad in order for me to feel good? Because usually what, like, when this comes up a lot with mother relationships, I will coach someone on their mom. And I will say, all right, let's just go for it. We're going to tell mom that she was completely shitty. And she's going to look at you and suddenly she's going to start crying and be like, I just never knew what a terrible mother I was. You are right. I have been a horrible person all my life. Like, I should have done so much better by you. Like, are you legit? You will feel better for a moment because everything can, like, in you is like, I was right. And then you just watch her suffering for a while. And all that's gone. And then all you're left with is what's next. And then you feel terrible. Like, most of the time, I will coach people about their husbands and their mothers and their fathers and stuff. And I will say, what if we just told them how awful they were and how much hate you actually have for them and stuff? And let's pretend that they take all of that in. Do you legit feel better? Is that what you want? We convince ourselves that that's what we want because we want to feel right because of what we're thinking. And our thoughts are what need to be examined. That's all I'm saying about it. All right. How do I restrict food from a place of love and not deprivation? It's super easy. It's like, I'm choosing my health. That's like when you choose your health, you feel good. The action is restriction. You don't eat a ding dong. That's how it works. Like, it is literally, don't complicate it any more than that. You guys are locked in on the belief that restriction is bad. Restriction is just an action. You restrict all the time. You know what I do? Like, when I go on, like, let's say somebody interviews me on another podcast, I have to restrict my cussing. If they're not an explicit podcast, I can't use cuss words. I'm restricting. I'm not sitting there going, I can't be myself and self-loathe in order to not cuss. You know what I say? I'd like to be on their podcast. Their rules are we don't cuss. And I feel good about that. And then I restrict my language. It's the same with food. You guys have a working definition of what restriction is. Restriction just means I'm going to say no when my goal overrides. So if your goal is to lose weight, no, you can't eat on a whim all the time. That's what got you here. You have to restrict yourself from eating when you feel bad, when you're bored. That's the restriction I'm inviting all of you to take in. I'm not saying like, now you got to cut out all your favorite foods. Most of you hear restriction and you think, oh, you mean I've got to like cut all the things out and I'm going to have to like beat myself down and do bad things to myself. That's self-loathing. But when you say, for the first time in my life, my goal is more important than my want in the moment, that's empowered. I can't tell you how many times I restricted when I was losing weight. Like we'd go to IHOP, I'd want all the pancakes and I would want the omelet that has all the steak and cheese in it. And I would be sitting there getting my veggie omelet with some whole wheat toast and sugar-free jelly. That was restriction. And I would choose it because I was like, I like losing weight. I want to be thinner. That was restriction. That was me putting my brain to work on, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this against myself. Most of you, though, like your definition of restriction is, well, I like to have pizza and stuff, so that means I can never eat it again with my family. That's called bullshit thinking. That's not restriction. That's called check your brain and get you some thoughts about why you're doing this. If you want to, like, literally, all restriction on the action line is saying, I'm going to say whole wheat toast instead of full-on pancakes today. I'm going to eat yogurt and fruit for breakfast instead of McDonald's McGriddle. That we're just doing a fancy way of saying restriction. I'm restricting myself from the shit that gives me shame and guilt on the back end. And I'm embracing the stuff over here that I've planned that feels doable and feels very reasonable. That could just get me further down the path. That is what we're doing. I'm scared of believing something about myself that isn't true. And this has always stood in my way of believing positive things about myself. What if I think I'm doing a good job and I'm not really doing a good job and then get fired? It won't matter. Like, seriously, if you believe you're doing a good job, you're more likely to show up in a different way. I'm just going to say that and get fired. Or you can believe you're a fuck up, show up in a different way and probably still get fired. Like, if the end result is going to get fired, here's your decision. Here's fired. All the way there, I can either believe I'm doing a great job and get fired, or all the way there, I can be on pins and needles, anxiety, worry, and stress and get fired. And I'm just going to tell you, most of you, if you show up for your job every day believing that you're a piece of shit who's fixing to get fired and can't do a good job and all this other bullshit, guess what? You're going to be sitting around not showing up like an ace employee. You'll have fuck it moments. You'll be like, well, why bother staying an extra 5 minutes? Probably going to get fired anyway. I'm not doing a good enough job. You'll do creepy, weird things. It will alter how you show up. But if, let's say, nothing happened, both ways, you did 100%. You either white-knuckle your way to getting fired, or you sit there and believe you're doing an amazing job and you get fired, and you're like, fuck, they're wrong. I was doing an amazing job. I probably should go get another one, rather than, oh my God, see, I knew I was screwed up. Now I'm going to sit on my couch and eat Haagen-Dazs for 3 months on unemployment because nobody's going to want me. That's the difference. The day 2 journal prompt was a very emotional exercise for me. And after looking at my top five moments and my worst 5, the worst 5 took away most of my top 5. They can't take anything away from each other. Your thought is they take it away. Your thoughts are, I'm going to only focus on these. They're still there. Unless somehow God came down with a big old pink eraser and was like, we're done with that. You might as well forget that shit. I took it all away. The only thing that's taking it away is your ass. It's time for you to sit there and like, these can't negate it. This is me not loving myself by allowing the other ones to not still coexist. We all need to be able to, let me read the rest of your question. How do you suggest working through the grief? There's no grief to work through. This is the point. There's no grief to work through. They're still here. Why are you killing them and burying them is the question. We're not going to work through the grief of saying like, well, now my top five are gone. We're just going to be like, this is the point. We have to be able to hold compassion for ourselves, for our five worst moments we showed up in life and the five best moments that we showed up in life at the same time. And we don't need to feel like weirded out by our five worst. It's just like me looking back at my suicide attempt. I could sit in shame about that all day, every day, if I wanted to. And I never do. And it's one of the top five worst moments of my life. I'm going to tell you right now, it was not a fun day. It was an ass kicker of a day. Like, everything that led up to it was an ass kicker. I think number three on the list of that. Oh, my God, y'all. When I think about my top five, they all happened. Well, not all five, but three of them all happened within a span of about a month or 2 months of each other. So it was a rocky road right in there. But I don't look back at them as like fucked up or whatever. It's part of my story. All of them. I'm not proud of those moments. I'm not like, I wouldn't want to have to go through them again if I had to. Like if somebody said, hey, you'll do all this one more time, I'd be like, no, once was plenty. But here's what I don't do. I don't sit around and figure out how it made me into a bad person. I weave it into the fabric of what got me exactly where I'm at right now. I promise all of you, had it not been for depression and suicide, I would have never been able to manage Logan. I would have never been able to get my ass to life coaching. I wouldn't have believed in it. None of that would have ever happened. And I like reconcile that because I'm on the hunt for it. There are just as many people like me who are leading very productive, amazing lives, who have the same story of divorce, just like I was promiscuous for a couple years during my depression. I had, oh my God, y'all, just all the things during that time. And I could be in shame about it now and still lead a productive life, but be destroying myself on the inside. I choose not to do it. I think everything that happens, especially in our top five worst moments, the point of the exercise is for you to not try to like wash away all the good and just focus on your worst stuff. It's for you to learn how to tell a new story, how to think differently, find purpose and reason when it's so hard to find it. Because if you can take your top five worst moments and you can reconcile them with compassion and reason and a part of like who you are today, oh my God, you can do that when the free donuts come in too. All of a sudden, it's not like, oh my God, they hurt my feelings. Don't they all know I'm on a diet? But you can find purpose and reason behind everything when you're looking for it. You can get the free donuts on Friday and you can say, and this is another opportunity for me to practice my resolve. This is another opportunity for me to understand that when I don't eat the donuts, because I really want to have an amazing kickoff to my weekend, that's the best kind of restriction that ever was. It's me giving myself the gift. That's how you tie restriction to self-love. That's also how you tie purpose and why to everything that happens rather than blame, disappointment, and helplessness. Those feelings we have to quit accessing all the fucking time, because I'm going to tell you, the more you tap blame, disappointment, and helplessness, the more you're saying like, please, I would love a few more food urges to deal with today. Can somebody just like put some good smelling food in front of my face? Because that's what happens. You generate all these feelings and wonder why your urges increase. Somebody says, I want to be able to learn from every mistake I make. Absolutely. And you know what? You don't even have to, like, you quit wanting it. Let's just start doing that. Notice how you said that. I want to learn from every mistake. I know that Betsy, but I think she was replying. Seriously? Just start saying, I now learn from every mistake I make. You have to start saying that. You have to quit. Everybody quit saying, I want things, as if I really want to learn how to do that. That's like saying, I wish. We're not wishing here. We're just going to start doing. You have to start talking about it like that. I need ideas to change the story with my past so I don't feel so unimportant and invisible. Well, the one is like to look at your past and like you need to prove to yourself how you weren't invisible. Like, go back to your story. This would be a good one for you to put into Ask Coaches. Tell the story as is. Okay, like, I was invisible because they did this and they did that, blah, blah, blah. And then go back and say, here's what it taught me for today. Because here's the thing. Who cares if you were invisible in the past? Who cares if you were unimportant in the past? Nobody gave a shit about me 15 years ago. I'm going to tell you right now, I had like 10 people reading a blog. No one gave a shit about me. You know who gave a shit about me? Corinne. I've been giving a shit about me for a long ass time. If you don't want to be invisible, stand out now to yourself. If you want to be important now, make yourself important. Start prioritizing yourself. Just say like, here's the thing. Don't even rewrite your damn past. The only time I ever like people to rewrite their past is when it's so traumatic. Sometimes we need to rewrite our past because like there's so much going on there with physical and sexual abuse and things like that, that it's a good practice. The majority of us, like 98% of us, you know what we need to do? Quit using our past as a reason to not do jack shit for ourselves today. If you want to love yourself, quit diddling with the past. And just say like, if we want to talk about unimportant, the past is now unimportant. You know what's important? What I'm doing today. How did I make myself very visible to myself? Like, here's one of the ways, like, how did I come out of hiding from myself today? Did I journal? Did I plan my food? Did I, yes, we are live. Did I listen to things that I thought about? Like, some of you I would just love, I know you guys listen to me a lot in the car. Once a week when you're driving, drive in silence. Just for 5 or 10 minutes. You don't have to do it for a long time, but just 5 or 10 minutes of driving in silence, just listen to what you think about. If you don't like the conversation, one, that's some stuff you can work on. Two, change it. Change it to what you want to be thinking about, your hopes, your dreams, your goals, how you're going to show up for your day today, how you're going to show up for you today. Problem solve ahead of time. Look for where there might be obstacles in the day and visualize yourself showing up like a boss, no matter what it is, like with your kids, with yourself, with your food, with your husbands, with your wives, with all of it. It is such an empowering exercise. And here's why it's empowering. Because for some of you, it's going to alarm you. You're going to be like, holy shit, the second I had quiet, I went to all the ways I mess up. That's what you need to work on. I want you to just note, oh my gosh, that's where my brain likes to go in the quiet moments. That's probably why I'm trying to fill it with food, why I'm trying to fill it with being busy, why I'm trying to fill it with saying yes to people all the time. Because in the moments, my mind is unmanaged. It doesn't mean you're broken and that those thoughts need to stop. It is such a good opportunity for you to practice listening and deciding, and I don't judge myself for these thoughts ever, ever again. Ever. I just listen to them. And I have compassion for myself because that's where my brain goes. And I tell myself, it's okay. You know what? I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm learning how to think differently about me. What's something right with me today? What is something that I can today look forward to? Or what is something today that might be a problem and how I might overcome it? Guys, I would just challenge all of you to do that kind of work every now and then. When I talk about practicing new thoughts and stuff, that's the work I'm talking about. It's like the work is not just always doing models and writing. A lot of it is allowing yourself to think, watch what you're thinking, listen to it, and then practice new thinking. It'll feel weird, and it's supposed to feel weird, not supposed to feel normal, until it becomes pretty damn normal. Then you get hooked on it, and then you love it. What advice do you have for a chronic lifelong habit of doing everything right to get your mom's love and attention, but never getting it and constantly being disappointed in yourself? Can't just kick a habit like that overnight. No, but you can slowly start kicking the habit. And the very first part of it is, like, first of all, prove to yourself you have your mom's love and attention now. I really want you to do this exercise. A lot of you think you don't have it. And a lot of you have it, it just isn't how you want it. You want rainbows and daisies, you want cards. Like, we had somebody the other day, I'm gonna call out Kat. I love her to death, she's doing such amazing work. But I wanna tell you where her brain went. She wanted her mom to appreciate her a certain way. Her mom appreciated her in a different way, and she got very upset about it. A lot of us do that. We do that to ourselves. It's like, rather than sitting around and trying to feel like I need her love and attention, just prove to yourself now how you have it already. Maybe she doesn't call you every day, and that's how you have her attention. She's so solid in our love, she doesn't have to talk to me but once every 3 months. I didn't talk to my mom yesterday. You know what I did? I worked. It ain't because I don't love Mamie. I love Mamie to death. But it's like Mother's Day is just not a big priority for me. It doesn't have anything to do with my love, but I'm sure if my mom was to choose, my daughter doesn't love me, she could, or she could just choose. Our love is so strong, we don't have to talk on a holiday that was designed for gift cards. It's another thought. I just would look at, first of all, how can I start seeing that she loves and appreciates me anyway, without my antics, without my, like, mind-blowing tricks and gimmicks? Because here's the thing. You think you're doing big tricks and gimmicks, and to her, it's probably just you being your normal, outstanding self and doesn't deserve a cupcake parade. A lot of times, that's what happens. What else did you say? But never getting it and constantly being disappointed in myself. So take the ownership that the only reason why you're disappointed is because I did my gimmicks and tricks for mama, the thought, and this is how she reacted. Either no reaction, told me I was a loser, whatever it may be. Thought, this is all me. Disappointment. That's how you start getting over it. I'm choosing disappointment. This is not my mother's fault. This is all me. Guys, I'm going to just tell you right now, the second you guys start owning your own emotions and you quit relying on everybody else in the world to figure out how to love you appropriately, is the most freeing moment of your life. Doesn't mean you can't ask people to love you a certain way and do certain things and say certain things. That's fine. It doesn't even mean that if they don't reciprocate and show up and all this other stuff that you don't get hurt. That's fine too. I just want you to be responsible for your own feelings about it. Sometimes you will legit want to be upset, and that's okay. Just own it, because when you invite the upset in, you don't invite a piece of cake with it. But when you think that you're helpless to how people are acting, I'm always disappointed when mama doesn't show up the way that she, like, I think she's going to morph into a whole brand new human being, although I've got 40 years of evidence that she's never going to change. She is just who she is. So I can either accept her for who she is, or I can continue to be on the disappointment train. The first step is just like, my disappointment, I own. It is all me. I no longer give her the power of my emotions. I'm taking it all back for me. And then you get to feel all your bullshit all you want. I'm struggling to move forward with my life because I believe others are judging my weight. How do I not give a shit and keep going? Here's how I do it. People are judging you for your weight. So what? All the time. People are always judging us for our weight. Guys, get over it. That just needs to be, like, noted. That's how you get over it. We don't get over it by going like, oh my God, they probably aren't. People are, like, so amazing and nobody thinks shady things and blah, blah, blah. We're all humans. We judge like a son of a bitch. You judge, I judge, everybody judges shit all the time. That's why nobody adopts the belief. Everybody's probably not judging. That's why I need to just move on with my life. That's why it never feels real. Because we're a human being with a brain that judges. If you aren't, you're probably dead. That's just the way the brain works. It'd be like you walk, like, I always use the example at camp, like, let's all pretend that, you know, the PBA Masters Bowling League is down the hall. We're, and it's like hundreds of men balding and whatnot. I dare all of you to walk through that hall and not catch one Southern PBA bowler in their 50s or 60s and not have a judgy thought. That's how I know this shit happens. Hell, we go to a restaurant and somebody's kid's crying. We judge the mother, and we're damn mothers. If we're on our date night, suddenly, like, there should be no children around. Like, this is how we know this shit happens. The judgment that other people have in their brain is fine. It has nothing to do with you until you make it mean something about you. So my first thought is always, everybody's judging me for my weight. It's time for me to quit judging myself, though. Like, rather than worried about what other people think about my weight, how about I get really focused on where I'm going with my weight, what I'm doing, keeping my eye on the prize over here. You just need to be very alert to what's going on in your head. So when you catch yourself, when you worry about what somebody else is, like, somebody's judging me about my weight, it's always because you ain't doing a good enough job of building yourself up, loving yourself enough, and knowing where you're going. If you're so focused on, like, doing the best for yourself and treating yourself like a queen and, like, you are important, you don't have time in your brain to be thinking about what so-and-so in the cubicle three doors down might be thinking when you walk by. You will not give a shit. And it won't be because you're just like, I don't give a fuck. It'll be because you're obsessed with yourself. Like, let's get obsessed with us. The main feeling I feel when I try to think positive things about myself is embarrassment. I'm having a tough time thinking of even basic bridge thoughts to get away from I'm fat and ugly, which is where I'm starting. And I'm ashamed to think anything different because they feel so objectively true. Here's what I would start saying. I'm fat and ugly is something I think. That's it. That's all you got to step out into. You do not need to, like, go off into some other land. It's what you, the reason why I want you to start there is because you said it feels so objectively true. It's only true because you keep thinking it. I'm going to promise you there is somebody in the world who does not think you're fat and ugly. This is how we know that this is Elizabeth's thought. This is the judgment that you've come up with that you put on repeat and you don't want to change simply because you think it's true. It's like, who cares? Like, seriously, truth is, like, a lot of people will look at a knife and some people will say, like, well, that could kill someone if they broke into the house. And other people will be like, ooh, that looks like a good knife for cutting a steak. Both are true. Like, it's the same thing about your body. I'm fat and ugly could be true to you. It also could be, I keep thinking this. It allows your brain to get the crack in the door that, oh, I just keep thinking this. Doesn't mean it's true. It just means it feels true. And feeling true and being true are totally different things. I used to kick butt at self-love and saying many positive things to myself, no matter what people threw at me. But I've been worn down by an alcoholic husband, and I've let my thoughts go to feeling like I'm not deserving of my goals. So here's the thing. I don't want you to ever say I've been worn down by my alcoholic husband. I want you to just to separate from that story you have. Here's why. It's never going to lead you to feel empowered. You're in the blame that the reason, what is it that you're wanting to do? You're blaming him because, oh, this is why I'm not deserving of my goals. He's worn me down. No, you're creating an undeserving feeling about your goals because you're focused on him and how he's affecting your feelings. I don't care if you're pissed about it. I don't care if you're upset about it and stuff like that. I just want you to stop saying that it's his fault. He's an alcoholic. Here are the thoughts that I have, and they can be like, I don't like it. this is not acceptable. It can be those things, but I want you to own that it's not him wearing you down. Like, I choose to think these things, because when you choose to think those things and you choose to like feel those things on purpose, your other thought could be, and he can't take my goals away. He may be drunk, but that doesn't mean that I don't deserve my goals. Like, those are thoughts that you can practice, but as long as you think he can wear you down, so, and here's the thing, if you think he can wear you down, here's the other thing you could be thinking too. You can build yourself up. If that's possible, then so is this. Even with you staying with him. As I start working on my YouTube channel, how do I process the not liking the way I look or sound? Since I kind of need to get over it to edit my videos. It's still uncomfortable for you to watch yourself. You will get used to it. That's how you get over it. Trust me. Someone who's had, I don't know. Woo! Y'all, I don't even want to guess how many hours of live stuff I do. And how many times I've had to listen to myself. Like when I do these, all the trainings. And now I'm doing the edits and stuff. You eventually... Like, this is just one of those things you need to tell yourself, I'll get used to it. And here's the other thing. While you're listening, listen for technique. Listen for things that you might want to start changing and practicing new the next time. Like, some of my earlier stuff, I was like, oh my God. Like, y'all think I'm redneck now? I used to be extremely redneck. But the more that I've listened to myself and the more I've watched myself and not, like, you just gonna have to not judge. And this will be amazing practice for you, Amika, because you're a harsh judger of yourself at times, right? That's like one of the things that you keep coming back to. This is a really good opportunity. Like every time you do your videos and every time you edit, you disallow judgment and you look for technique and improvement and whatnot. That's all you get to do. And you need to like before, this is what I would do. Before you even go into the editing, I would do a thought download on where your brain is right now. Clean it out. Like, I'm going to want to judge myself. I'm going to want to do this. I'm going to think these things, blah, 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 blah. Like, let it out on paper first. Get your brain clean. Guys, this is an exercise that doesn't just go with a YouTube channel video person. Think of all the other ways that you could use this. Before you go see mama, before, like, there's all kinds of situations that, like, if you know you're going to have a big meeting and you're going to be in a meeting with someone that you've, in the past, allowed to push your buttons, like, oh, when he says this, I start thinking this shit and feel terrible. Do a thought download before you go in. Like, this is the best practice. So you're just going to write. Before you do it, you clean your brain out. And then you start saying, okay, but this is how I'm going to show up for me. A professional YouTube person, a professional meeting person, the daughter of this woman, whatever. This is how I'm choosing to show up today for me. I want to think and feel these things today. This is how I'm going to roll. And you go into it so much stronger because your brain is trained on what you want. It's not trained on where you don't want to go. How do I stop obsessing about a disagreement that I had with a friend? It's consuming every waking moment. Just can't let it go. So pissed at her. I would write about it. I would do my model. I would do like the circumstance, exactly what she said, and your thought about it. Pissed. Your action, stew. And whatever's going on, and the result will tie back to the thought. And then decide what you want your intentional model to be. Your intentional model might be right now, like, you know, if your thought is she shouldn't have said that, or what a bitch she is, or whatever, your intentional model might just be, I'm not thinking about this anymore. Until I've calmed down. It could just be that. And you just go on a fast. Like when I'm really upset about something, I just say, okay, I'm setting this aside for a little bit. I know I'm upset and stuff, but every time I try to gin it back up, no. I don't get to gin the story up and I don't get to call my friends and tell it 10 times, make it worse than it is, and do all that bullshit. Like, if I don't think she's a grown-ass adult, I'm going to be the one. Grown-ass women, here's what we do. When we're fighting with our friends, we don't talk about them behind their back. That includes in our own brains. If we wouldn't want them doing it to us, we ain't going to do it too. Here's how I roll when I'm upset with a friend. I sit and I think about what I like about her, and I hold space for myself that I can still be pissed, I can still be let down and stuff, but I totally own it's me. And then a lot of times, I just write about it. this is what happened and why I don't like it. And I give myself like a spew fest on the on a piece of paper. And then by the time that I've done that, I've run out of steam with it. And then I look for what's really bothering me. Is it what she said? No. It's always about what I make it mean about us as friends or about myself. That's why I'm so upset. And then I do work on me. I use it as a trigger to work on me. Then I decide, is this worth being mad? Is this something that I need to talk to her about? Because here's the thing. Most of you get pissed at people and you don't talk to the person you're pissed at. But you'll talk to everybody else about it. And when you talk to everybody else about it, guess what happens? Jack shit. You're going to be surrounded by people who are going to say that all your crazy ass shit thoughts, oh yeah, you're entitled to that. You should be angry. See, don't do that. You get one bitch fest. Do it on paper first. Then if you feel like you need to talk to someone, do it. I just don't do that very often. Every now and then, I will have something so upsetting. I will call a friend and I will say, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm really upset. And I just need to let it all out. I don't want you to agree with me, but I also don't want you to tell me how to think about it either. I don't want no coaching, but I don't want anybody like buying into my bullshit either. I just want to talk about it. And then I'll ask. Trying hard on self-love, but have two kids, including one 16-year-old sophomore with Asperger's, struggling in school and feeling so guilty and being hard on myself that it's my fault. Should have been more aware and help him study instead of working full-time nights, feeling super guilty. How to journal tonight. You do need to journal. You have to work. Why feel guilty about that? There's no should. You have a son with Asperger's. You have to go to work. You don't even have to go to work. But I'm sure you're choosing it. You're not like, well, I just want to go to work because I just like to, you know, go do things at night. You probably absolutely need to go to work for money. You don't need to feel guilty about that. I'm going to tell you, all you moms that have kids that have special needs and stuff, we have to cut ourselves a break. It is tempting to feel guilty. It feels right because it confirms our worst fears. It's our fault. So then when we feel guilty, there's this weird dynamic that comes when, and this happens in everything. It's not just when you have kids that have unique needs and stuff, guys, but we will feel guilty or something and we'll hang on to it only because it's confirming our inner beliefs. Even if it feels terrible, we won't want to let it go because it proves our core belief about ourselves true. If you feel like you caused this, like somehow, like this is my fault. I carried him. It must be my fault. I think a lot of us go through that with our kids. Then everything that happens will confirm that you should feel guilty. Like going to work. It's like if you feel like you're a fuck up in life, you will walk across the room, trip over a rug, and say, in your head, see, I can't even walk across the room right. That's how fucked up I am. That's what gets a lot of you in trouble when it comes to the weight loss. You will say, you will be thinking at your core belief, I can't lose weight. And then every time you overeat, it will confirm some bullshit belief you've got down there. You will make, every time you barely go past the two, every time you want to eat something off plan, every errant thought you have about food, the overeat. If you have a binge, it's like, see, I just knew it. It's like, you didn't know shit. Here's the thing. You had an overeat just like every other person. If you were like so determined that you were going to lose weight, if your core belief is I'm going to lose weight, you know what would be happening? That same overeat, you'd be like, where's my recovery worksheet? Time to get to business. I know this has to be a part of the process. That would be what your thought would be. It wouldn't be like, oh shit, see what a fuck up I am? I knew I would never be able to lose weight. I had an overeat. And then that will spiral into like the next 20. All from one thing. You not working on thinking often enough, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to think I'm going to do this even when I feel like I can't do this. I'm going to constantly remind myself how I can do this, how I'm figuring this out, how I don't quit. You have to be relentless in that kind of conversation in your head, because all the other conversations are coming. All of them. That's why you gotta be relentless about it. When I was losing weight, I remember having so many times where I would sit there and I would think, you can't think like this. This is the way we've always thought when we've been overweight. That can't happen. Like, we're losing it. We're going to figure it out one step at a time. And I would like all but yell at myself in my head. That's the level of mental commitment you've got to start having. And it is not, you need to be committed already. It's like, no, you got to quit pissing in your diaper for a few minutes and get to work on changing the conversation. Nobody's got time to sit around going, well, I just feel so behind. Stop doing that to yourself. It's called a self-paced program for a reason. I guarantee you, I don't care. Like, let's just say you somehow found a back door into PNP Tribe today. Like, say Chris had a web page out there that just would let you in. Somebody could like just be like, what's this Facebook Live? And they could figure their shit out and they didn't listen to a damn video, do a damn workbook, listen to no BS or anything. If I was to give this, like, seriously, could you imagine if I just said to all of the people, like, I get letters daily because I only go live publicly once a month now. They want these lives. You have them. They don't. They get one and some podcasts. That's all they get. Not much. And I don't go to the groupies and do jack shit with them. I'm in here every day with you guys. If I was to give them this one video and dropped it straight into the podcast, nobody would be going, well, I feel so behind. I never did do that workbook you had in that self-love. I'm going to have to just turn this one off because I don't know what you're talking about. At some point, we all have to get out of our own way. You either got to be like relentless about thinking you're going to do this, and that means you're going to feel uncomfortable, and you're going to have a lot of doubt, and you're going to be scared, but you don't entertain the idea anymore of this like, well, there's just too much to do. Well, I've never been able to lose weight before. Well, my mother didn't say something nice to me. That's why I overate. It's like, that shit stops today. It's got to stop now. You either take ownership for yourself or you keep going through life waiting for the world to get on board perfectly so you can navigate it. Not happening. Let go of the dream. I do TDLs and still have bullshit fat girl thinking. What can I add to help me work through this? You will still have bullshit fat girl thinking, guys. Never goes away. Ever, ever, ever. Here's the difference. You will either hate it or you will be burned out by it or you will be frustrated by it or you will always be like, oh, glad I caught this one. I'm going to start thinking this now. Oh, glad I thought this one. I'm going to start thinking this one now. And then those old fat girl thinking thoughts, eventually they just come and you're just like, whatever. Like, I'm busy. I do that all the time. I probably have at least 100 a day. I just don't sit there going like, something must be wrong with me. I never think that. I just think, moving along, I don't lose my energy over it. I rarely ever even model on it. The only time I model on thoughts about my body is when I notice they're causing me a lot of pain. Now, I've already done that stuff for so long that I'm just like, they don't cause me pain unless it's like this idea of like when you do a lot of the models, you start noticing like, you know what? Rather than trying to figure out how to create all these brand new thoughts and counterproductive thoughts and everything, I've got one thought. I'm not thinking that anymore. It's not worth it. And then I immediately drop into getting busy with something else. That's it. I gave up a long time trying to make it just go away. The only reason why you would want it to go away is because you feel bad when it happens. So that just says to me, you haven't learned how to have a thought and just be like, not good enough for this lady, something new, or we're just going to go on with an amazing life. Like, we're going to be doing something over here. The only reason why you would want it to go away is if you're allowing it to attach. Just stop allowing it to attach. Tips for changing the thought, I'm just faking it, with regards to trying out a new self-loving thought. Like, the negative thought was so burned in, the positive thought feels like a lie. Just say, like, I wouldn't say, I'm just faking it. Say, I'm working on believing it. I'm practicing believing it. Quit saying I'm just faking it, because you're not. If you're changing your thought, that's not faking. That's called practicing. There's just no upside to that thought. That's an easy one. Just stop saying that. I expect my husband to love my weight and say nothing about it, but I say all day how big and unhappy I am about my weight. How do I get the thought out of my head that he is a bad person because he doesn't like my weight? I see what you're saying. I expect my husband, you want him to love your weight. Well, here's the thing. Like, why do you expect him to love your weight when you don't? I mean, that's an unreasonable expectation. Say, hey, you, I want you to really love me for who I am, but I'm not invested in it. Here's the thing. You're using your husband as a way to not do your own work around yours. Like, oh, well, if he would just do all that, it would be so much easier for me to love myself. No, it wouldn't. Would not make it any easier. Everybody always thinks it will. It never does. We got plenty of girls in here who have husbands that shower them with amazing thoughts about their weight. Oh, baby, it doesn't matter. I love you at any size, blah, blah, blah. But when you don't love yourself, you'll be like, well, now he's just a liar. I know he couldn't think that way. There's no way he could think that way, because the way I think about myself has to be true. It's just like when we think everybody else cares about our weight. It's like, because you care so much about it is why you think everybody else is obsessed with your weight. You have to be obsessed with your weight in a good way. You need to start telling myself, I'm working on myself. I don't care what he thinks. You know what I care? What I think. What am I thinking right now? If it isn't really good, then I'm not going to get distracted by trying to get into his head and figure out his thoughts and then figure out how to change his thoughts. Like, that's a really long way of just saying, like, oh, I should probably do that for myself. That's all we have to do. We have to work on ourselves, guys. Quit working on other people. You have enough to work to do on you. Don't take on extra credit homework. Can you explain how we use our journaling to improve our thoughts going forward? I can model a new improved thought, but how does that lead to me changing my negative or false beliefs for the future? How do I see that I'm acting different a year from now by using this? How do I see that I'm acting different? Like, well, you'll notice. You'll start seeing that you are acting different. Here's the thing. You create your ineffective model, and then you create your unintentional, then your intentional model, okay? Then what you want to do is you want to kind of like understand that this is the thought that I'm wanting to believe. Like, this one sounds better. A lot of you are creating very intentional models. I just want you to create one that's a little bit better, that gets you a little bit better results. You don't always have to go to like an amazing model. Just go to one that's slightly better than the one you have. Like, I have a body, or I'm open to believing the story about my body can change. I'm open to believing that I can hear fat girl thinking and start shutting it down. Like, that's a lot of the thoughts that you guys need to practice more of. And then when you do that, then you see new actions. So then you just agree with yourself. Okay, these new actions from this new model, I'm going to start doing those. Even when I'm thinking this, I'm going to start acting this way. So when I think this, I want it to trigger to me to act like this. Because what will happen is when you want to act like that, the new thought comes in order for you to switch gears. That's kind of how you do it. Whew. How do you retrain your brain to believe that things like showering, brushing teeth, going to bed on time is actually self-care? You start saying it's actually self-care. Let's imagine this. Let's say that you went 3 months without showering, brushing your teeth, or going to bed on time. What kind of an asshole would you be? That, I mean, it's self-care. Every day that I shower, there are plenty of people who, like, I'm going to tell you why it's self-care. When you're depressed, a lot of people, the first thing to go is the shower. The shower is the best self-care ever. You need to start saying this is part of your self-care, because otherwise what happens is you're just going to have days where the only thing that does happen is your shower time, where you get to think. You're brushing your teeth, where you might get to think. Whatever it may, like going to bed on time is the way you burn the most fat. You get to think about it however you want, but if you want to hang on to some old story of like, oh, that doesn't count, then you get to diminish and demoralize yourself. Especially for all of us who sometimes that's the only self-care we're getting for the day. I find I have the same thought whenever I try to take big action. I'm not good enough yet. For example, when I think about starting to date, I think that no one would be interested in me until I do some more work on myself first. How do I start to change that? I'm not good enough yet is not a good excuse. That's where I would start. Here's the thing. You're just going to have to go out. That right there, until I do some more work on myself. I need to do a lot more things. But what I wrote something down. Hang on. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I still have it. All right, so here we go. Listen to this. Your job is to do things when it's the right time to do it, not when it's easy, convenient, and feels super comfortable. And I think that's what you're looking for. It's like, oh, I don't want to start that dating thing until I feel really comfortable, that I probably won't get rejected very much, and the risk level will be low, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you know what we do? When we know we have to do something, we do it right then. We don't wait around until the perfect moment. We don't wait around until it's easy, comfortable, and feeling real convenient. You just get too busy. The reason why we always wait on that is because but what if it doesn't work out? It's like, well, yeah, that's the whole point. That's why we're going to do it, because it might not work out. And then you get to figure out your next step. I find I have the same thought whenever I try. Oh, I just did that one. How can I change the inner talk with myself that I keep trying but staying in the same spot? Wait up and down. Now that you can't do this voice, it creeps up as the day goes on. You're just going to have to say the weight going up and down has everything to do with the food. It has nothing to do with can I do this? Seriously, y'all. Your weight going up and down has everything to do with your food, not if you can lose weight. Obviously, if your weight's going up and down, sometimes it's going down. You already proved yourself wrong. See, I can lose weight. Now what I need to do is get consistent. That's the story you need to tell yourself. It's not that I can't lose weight. That's the easy thing to say, because that gets me closer to being able to eat and keep that swing going. That's that bullshit I tell myself, so I can stay in this comfortable range and not really have to I forgot. I'm going to have to be consistent in a couple of those wants where I keep eating. Probably going to have to sit there and not like it. Guys, that's just the price we pay to lose some weight. Sometimes you're going to want food and not get to eat it. Sometimes you got to leave the 3 bites behind. Sometimes you don't get to eat just because it's time. Or because you think you might be hungry. If you, I think I'm hungry, wait an hour. Give yourself the opportunity to lose weight. I want to visit a good friend for a few days. I don't think I'm going to tell her about PNP because she will pick the shit out of it. I'm okay with that, but I'm a little nervous because she's a pusher. Not so much with food, but with alcohol. I'm trying to visualize how I will show it for myself and what I will say. No, thank you. I'm not drinking. All right. Here's the thing. You're not telling her about PNP because she's a pusher. Just tell yourself the truth. You're not okay with that. I'm okay with the PNP. It's like, no, just be honest. Say, I'm not telling her about PNP because I'm afraid it's going to make her want to push alcohol on me more. And if she pushes alcohol on me, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to stand up for myself. I'm not going to be able to say no. I'm going to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to want it. That's what's really going on. This is not about your friend. This is not about whether you tell her about PNP or do anything like that. This is all about you not wanting to feel tempted. You can tell her about PNP or not, but if she's going to talk shit, I'll just be like, I got it. But I'm just telling you, I'm still not drinking. I'd tell her before you even get there. Just say hey, I'm just going to give you a heads up. I'm not drinking this weekend. And I know that you really enjoy it when I drink with you, and you may want me to, and you're going to ask me 1,000 times. I'm just going to tell you now, I'm going to say no every single time, but I'm going to let you do it. Hell, I'd have that conversation. And in your head, you just yeah, I'm going to let her ask 1,000 times. Whether you tell her about PNP or not, it won't matter. I'd just be she's for sure going to want me to drink with her. You know why? She probably don't want to be left out. She's probably going to judge herself. She probably has her own shit that she goes through. So you're going to be uncomfortable and she's going to be uncomfortable. Go for it. How do I get over the fear of becoming full of myself while trying to become confident? I'm going to tell you, this is a simple one. Rarely do I ever have anyone in here that becomes confident after lacking it all their lives and become full of themselves. That just never has happened. I'm probably the most full of themselves. Like, I'm the queen of being full of themselves, and it's a really good place to be. I love it. You know why? All of you lose weight because of me being so fucking full of myself. How do you know that you won't become so confident that you won't inspire the next person to lose weight? You won't be the next role model. You may not start a business and stuff, but you might have somebody ask you one day, like you might have a conversation with them. They may ask you what you did and it changes everything for them. Don't keep yourself small and then deny somebody else their future all because you're worried you might become full of yourself. Anybody who's ever worried they're going to become full of themselves never become full of themselves. Yes, my tattoo is the PNP tree. There you go. I've sat down 15 or 20 times to TDL. My mind goes completely blank. I don't know what to write. I've tried your prompts and still draw blank. How can I get my brain to write? It's so easy. You get your phone. You set a timer for 5 minutes. And you put your pen on the paper and you start writing blah, 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 blah until you either answer the question or you spend 5 minutes writing blah, 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 blah over. That is a huge hack. You will get tired of doing it, but make yourself do it. I guarantee you what will happen is you will be sick and tired of writing it. And rather than giving up and say, I can't do it, make your brain go past the point of your self-doubt. Because that's all that's happening. You probably have some shitty little thought in there of like, I'm not a good journaler. I don't know what to write. There's probably some like, I'm worried something bad might come out. That's the only reason why it's not happening. And it's like, today we write blah, blah, blah. And if you do 5 minutes of it, then do 5 more minutes of it tomorrow. And you just keep doing that and you like say like, I fucking don't give up on this. Like, I never give up on this. You will eventually, your brain will cave. Be like, all right, well, we're going to sit here and do this. We're going to do this. I'm learning to be fine with myself when my mom criticizes me. But what do I say to her? How do I react to her passive-aggressive ways in this conversation? I don't say shit when my mom is passive-aggressive with me. Hell, my mother-in-law was throwing shade at me today when she dropped Logan off. It's like everybody just throwing the shit around. I don't say anything. I don't need to. I don't need to correct someone's behavior. They're not a child. They're our mothers. Like, y'all, like, I'm not going to go up to my mom and say, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm just going to tell you, you don't bother me anymore. But you shouldn't say shit like that. That means it's still bothering you. And, like, you're correcting your mother's behavior. Like, no, we're not correcting anybody's behavior. If the only people's behavior we get to correct is our children's behavior. Everybody else in the world, like, guys, most people are not doing anything that warrants even correcting. If your husband is like verbally abusing you, like physically abusing you, doing things like that, yeah, we need to have some like boundaries and stuff. The majority of us are with people who just say shit. Like, my mother-in-law today came in and said something about the smell in the house. I don't even know what it was. I was like, I don't smell anything. And she was like, you don't smell it? Like every time you walk in after you've been gone? And I said, no, I don't smell anything. And she said, are you sure you don't want to get it checked? And I said, no. And she was just like, I think I would get it checked. Don't you care about the health of the boys? And I just looked at her and I said, I'll think about it. No, and I ain't gonna do jack shit about this. She got a dog like a nose, or a nose like a dog. That's the way I always think about it. It's like, Nana always smells everything. Like, I just don't smell it. And it's not like it's diapers. She's always smelling something that she thinks is a chemical. And that's just the way she is. And I just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to sit there going, now you should never tell me that I don't care about the health of my boys. Like, guys, this is the shit I live in all the time. If I, like, sat or, like, I did not need to do a TDL on it. I did not need to do a model on it. I did not need to correct her behavior. I don't agree with her. And of course I care about the health of my boys. But I don't agree with her. And I care about the health of my boys. That's all the validation I need right there. And we're done. And guess what? I came upstairs, started writing the June How to Stop Buffering course for all of you guys. Much more productive use of my time than arguing with my mother-in-law downstairs about the boys. I came up here and wrote 30 minutes worth of good content for you guys. All about urges, why we buffer, why we overeat, why we drink. Hell, if I'd stayed down there and stayed in my shitty diaper, I probably would have been eating and drinking. All right, last question. I was looking at old pics of when I was little. I found myself talking to that little girl and saying, don't listen to all the mean things people say to you. It was so sad to me. Am I holding on to the past too much? Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so. No, you said, I found myself talking to that little girl and saying, don't listen to all the mean things people say to you. I would just say, like, I got you now. All of that stuff brought us here. And I'm all in on us. All right. First of all, I got to see what Shakina says. She says, I know you're about to tear me apart. I love what you were saying, and I think this is all great shit. But then after the call, the 24 hours, I'm back to my same BS. Why is this? Because it's your habit. That's all it is. It's conditioned thinking until you get it so aware, and you're so aware of what you're doing. And then you write about it, and you switch gears on the written word. And then you start noticing when you start, like, find your patterns. What I'm doing, this is not working. How can I get committed? First of all, the only way to get committed, guys, first, you have to do doable, realistic plans that prove to you that you're committed. Like, get over yourself. Some of you, your plans have to be super realistic. You have to start showing up for yourself. That also means you have to start showing up for yourself that when you think something shitty, you equally say something nice. It doesn't have to be amazing, but it has to be something. And the way you stay committed is you talk to yourself every single day, 1,000 times, saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. I'm going to want to not believe it, but I'm working on my belief. I'm going to want to think these things, but I am. And I mean, set triggers on your phone. Set, like I, just all the things. Like, I would have triggers on my phone. I'd have sticky notes everywhere. I would have my girlfriends text me. Like, if you have friends who give a fucking shit about you, tell them, I am working on my inner dialogue. Please text me randomly these things so that I can remember in the spurt. Like, let's practice that kind of spontaneity rather than spontaneously planting some Merlot on your ass. Let's spontaneously get a text from someone of something that's going to trigger a thought you want to believe. Let's do that. Okay, and the only, like, I come up with all these ideas straight up out my ass. And the reason why is because I know all of you can do it. I know you can. That is the only difference between me and you. And the reason why I know is because I have practiced the belief that every single person can lose weight as long as she gets out of her own way. It does not require shakes and pills and crazy shit. It does not require any of that bullshit. It requires you getting out of your way. And if you're committed to getting out of your way, you will do it. But if you are committed to a sob story and your past and your blame game and your victim mentality and your overwhelm and you're like, well, I try these new thoughts and for some reason they're not sticking after a couple of weeks. If you're committed to it not working, guess what? It won't work. You have got to work equally as hard, if not harder, on committing to it's going to happen as you work every single day. I'm like, oh, see, I knew it. Not doing it. It's not going to happen. See, somebody else got success. I ain't got it. See, somebody else ain't losing weight. I knew that was the truth. That's called committing to it failing. Stop fucking doing it. That is the worst commitment to practice all the time. And I don't want to hear no bullshit that it just happens. I don't care if it just happens. If you're doing it, then you commit to the other story every single time. That's how I know if you're serious. If you're going to sit there and not be that serious, then don't ask why it's not happening. Okay. I think I was on a roll today. But I had the window open. It's only 60 degrees in Nashville, so I didn't even get hot. All right. Somebody said, I signed up in January and I'm not a Victoria's Secret model yet. I may as well quit. Look, I've been at it 14 years and a Victoria's Secret hadn't been knocking on this door either. But I will say, somebody said they liked my top. I would just like to give some shout outs to the Boston Proper. It's yet again, one of my favorite tops. And they still have this one, I believe. So if you go, you can find this top. All right. So here's my advice for everybody. When you want some coaching, go to Ask Coaches. Take TDLs to them. You don't have to give them the whole TDL, but say like, I did a TDL and like three or four thoughts I know I have are, and here's the facts. Boil it down. Let them, I'm going to tell you guys, separating the story versus the fact that you're telling yourself, or the fact versus the story you're telling yourself, learning that one piece is about 80% of the work right there. Just understanding what's real and what's not. And then it comes down to just like rerouting. So take some stuff to Ask Coaches. That's why we have it. They live and breathe over there. If you go to pnptribe.com, go to the top of the screen, it says ask, or it says get coached. And you go to Ask Coaches and you can find your answer. You just type your question in. And then the next day, if you go to recent answers, you'll see your question and their answer right there for you. Let me tell you guys about the August 3-day transformation weekend with me. If you are wanting to do it, let me tell you, I don't even know how many spots are left. We sold a few more today. I would highly, if you want to find out about it, just go over to pnptribe.com and go to events. And then you will see it on the event page. I got a whole page. I've got a video from me that tells you like what's the difference between camp and what's the difference between the transformation weekend and what we're doing. All the things are coming. Oh, hey, Gail. So you're coming. Nice. It's going to be amazing. I've already started working on some of the stuff for it. I'm loving this. It's different than what we've been doing in the 2-day. It's going to be a little bit, I don't want to give it away. I'm just not giving it away. Just like, oh my God, I was the worst at Christmas. I always wanted to tell everybody what they got. Still to this day, I want to tell Chris what he's getting for Christmas before he gets it. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, I got a present. I'm terrible. 37 spots are gone. So we only take 50. That I can't believe I'm doing math all the time. 13 spots remain. Guys, if it lasts the rest of the week, I'll be shocked. So if you're wanting in, you need to get in. Oh my gosh, Julie, you're coming too? And Michelle Johnson, and I also saw my girl Amanda. I've seen several coming through. And Darcy Chris is coming. Oh, I'm going to tell you. Darcy Chris is very inspirational, guys. Y'all should tag her sometimes in some of the posts. Darcy is one of those people that I have grown to love in PNP because she came in and just laid all her mental bullshit on the line. Thoughts she's had about everything. She's done it at camp. She's done it in the tribe. I mean, I just love when somebody is like, you know what? I'm more interested in solving my problems than I am in hiding from them. And I would say that is Darcy Christ. And Michelle Bellinger. Math! she's the, head teacher of the year or something like that in her state for some kind of aeronautics or science or something, but I teach her math. So just so all y'all know. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'm feeling silly. I'm going to eat me some dinner and probably watch some junk TV, get on some Netflix or something. Y'all have a good one. Bye y'all. Oh, the Facebook group for the Transformation Weekend. Mary Jo, I think it's going to, Mary Jo will let you know. Mary Jo, just comment in here. I think she's on this call. She'll let you know. We have it set up. I just don't know when she's going to start letting them in, but it's very soon. Bye, y'all.